Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August the 14th. Boy, fair day.
Yes, it is.
Have you been down there yet?
Yes, I have. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, I see. It's Booth Boy Day.
Yes.
Joining us this afternoon is the general manager?
Yes.
Of the Humboldt Community Services District, Dave Hull.
Hi, Brian.
So Dave was, is this Bilotti? This looks like Bilotti.
It is Bilotti. Wow, good for you.
Oh, man, well, wonders never cease.
Yes.
Will the old ever get young? No, they won't. But the show will pick up. We'll talk about drought and some of the challenges that that's presenting throughout the region as we've now got one of our water races on board. We'll do it when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see, I got beauty. That's going to be a tough one to pull across you. Okay. Let's see if you have a water one.
You had a water one?
I don't know.
There may be some Confucius thing in there.
Washington. That's not water. Wildlife. That's not water.
Winning.
You want winning?
No.
All right. Well, I got war, too, but let's see if we have winning. There it is. Not to be confused with whining. It's only one letter away. Quote, let's see, this is Nancy Lopez. Remember the golfer,
yes,
Nancy Lopez?
Yes, absolutely.
Hoochie Mary, quick.
I don't know.
Ray Knight.
Oh, okay.
You're not a baseball fan.
No.
Okay. Quote, successful competitors want to win. Head cases want to win at all costs. Yeah.
And that's really true.
It's really true, Dad. Oh, boy. Well, it doesn't seem to be that the drought is sneaking up on anybody. Everybody seems to be halfway aware of this thing. And I suppose, Dave, as much as anything, it's the fire and fear of fire, the prevalence of fire. What are you hearing from your buddies across the state? Are they dealing with the stuff that we're dealing with? Do they have a different attitude or different impression of how it's going?
Well, we're kind of two pieces to it. You know, on back in the middle of July, the State Water Resources Control Board passed a resolution that developed a bunch of prohibitions on water use that are under the water conservation kind of hat. So that's a statewide thing, whether you're in a drought, whether you're not in a drought. Those were all...
is that permanent?
It's kind of one-size-fits-all. No, it's only for 270 days, and it started on August 1st. Now, that doesn't mean they can't extend it, but it'll be at least till
October.
Oh,
you mean like California's 6% sales tax going to 7?
Yeah, remember?
Yeah. No, not really. It was long ago.
No, it was going to go away, remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got this kind of state framework that everybody throughout the state, all the water agencies are living under that. We've done a great job around here of putting together a program, even though we're not in a water shortage emergency right now. We're still under these same guidelines. So we're trying to get the word out to all of our customers around the bay here and our other agencies around the bay here that these things are there. To the extent we can, we're also coordinating the message, so we have all kind of the same thing coming out, so that when we do things on the radio or we do things at the fair or something like this, we've got a consistent message, so it's not confusing. And right now, they're really not that arduous of a prohibitions anyway. You know, we're one of a few places in the state that really isn't under some water shortage kind of real threat. And so the other folks, even though we've watched the last couple of weeks a bunch of rain in L.A. and these kind of things, they're still no, it's not. And you know, storage capability is something that really lacks down there. When it rains a lot of it runs off. Partly because of the hard surfaces, but partly because they don't have a lot of places to capture it either. They do,
I forget who I was talking with, and they came up with it. California, has doubled in the last 40 years?
Population-wise.
Yeah. The number of dams built in California
is the same.
Yeah. Gee, we run out of water.
Exactly.
What a shocker, huh?
And who saw that coming?
It would seem to me that part of this is a responsibility of the infrastructure, whether it's the water district, whether it's the harbor, whether it's this group, whether it's that group, whether it's the state, whether it's the, you got to have somewhere to store this stuff. And to rely on aquifers over and over and over and over and over is tough. To rely on rivers is tough over and over and over and over, seasonal creeks, et cetera, et cetera. Is anybody talking about that?
Storage?
Are they just lamenting, there's no snowpack, and that's California's real storage area?
Well, that's true. That's true.
Heard
too.
Heard that one, huh? Or,
remember, storage has got a double-edged sort of thing, too, because typically storage is in a river. And then you end up with issues like we have in the Klamath or on
or the algae,
the dam we had behind Eureka here. You know, it silts up and there's algae and there's fish issues and all kinds of stuff that go with that. But to the extent you can, you're right. There's been a lot of storage ideas on the books for 40 years that are now, because of the water bond, well, because of the drought, but the water bond looks like it may be the mechanism to get some of those storage things funded, are getting dusted off. I was just over in the Sacramento Valley here last week, and there was all over the newspapers was some, they were dusting off some of the plans for some of the reservoirs that they had put together years and years ago.
You're going to keep using dust until I make a comment about how bad that
pond
really
is? I keep going. And then we're going to go back to Sal.
Good.
Well, so I don't have to hog the air and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I just want to be sure you're not being too piggy on this one. So keep going. That's all right.
So the whole notion of looking at storage again is something that's been an idea here last year or so because of this. And again, it's not like people haven't looked at it, but there hasn't really been a good mechanism to get it funded. And, you know, unfortunately, our society is kind of crisis oriented. And so, you know, you don't have to do it yesterday, we kind of don't think about it. And so the drought being almost a statewide sort of a thing has really brought that up to the forefront.
How long does it take to build a dam?
Or would in this day and age?
In California.
Yeah, we'll both be dead when they get one done.
Okay, so if we started today and money was already allocated, how long would it take outside of the coastal zone?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm going to take a wild speculation here just based on what I know and whatever, and I'm going to say that it would be at least probably 10 to 15 years. By the time they got it done, you know, permitting wise, till they got it full.
319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull from the Humboldt Community Services District. Dave, this bond measure that you've been alluding to that was done, was it yesterday?
Yes.
What, you know, I know California hasn't met a bond that it doesn't like. Okay, so here we go again. Number 50 is going to try to become number 51 in a 50-horse race. What does it look like? What does it do? Is it a Band-Aid? Is it systemic? What why should anybody have any interest in passing this thing?
Well, I don't want to step on. I know Carol's going to be on your show here not too, so I don't want to step on her
tomorrow.
Stuff,
but it's not Carol. Yeah,
okay,
it's somebody else. So all right. So
let me go in a broader context. I think the infrastructure throughout California, you know, albeit throughout the nation, is really kind of lacking. A lot of it's older. The population's grown, like we were talking, and so there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done that hasn't been dealt with. I think the problem that we have just culturally is waiting until everything's fallen apart before we need a giant slug of money to do it, rather than incrementally with a nice plan going along and taking care of it. That said, that A is the way we do it. So this is a $7.5 billion bond. And it covers a number of different things. Some of the things that we just talked about, and in fact, I think $2.7 billion or something, I believe about half of it, is for water storage kind of things, what we were talking about earlier. Let me check that just to be sure. Yep, that's it, exactly. And so the rest of it, the other half then goes into water recycling programs, some watershed programs, some groundwater recharge, groundwater sustainability kind of things, which we also talked about. You know, you can only pump an aquifer so long, too. So, it's something that's really kind of long overdue, is making this public investment in this. Although it could have been handled more incrementally, like I said, so it's not such a painful sort of a thing to get over.
How far does $2.5 billion go in California when it comes to water?
Well, you know, this was originally, but this $7.5 billion took the place of an $11 billion one that was being proposed. And
one's showing restraint.
This one's showing restraint, but it also shows how much of a need there really is for this stuff. You know, to get to those numbers, it's not completely a dart throw like a lot of people think. You know, there's been a lot of water associations that have, you know, surveyed this and what are the infrastructure needs and blah, blah. And there's a lot of data that goes into coming up with these big numbers.
So. I would wager that there's a confidence in that number. It's because prevailing wage is involved.
That's true, too.
Reaction.
Absolutely.
You know, it's artificially twice as expensive as what it needs to be and things like that. Or, conversely, you could do twice the projects and get it done with the same. Does any of this, and I know it's relatively new, but I would like to think that somebody in Sacramento at least would talk to you.
Somewhere they do once in a while.
Yeah. Does this do anything for us at all around here, or is this all somebody else?
That's a good question. These are going to be somewhat competitive programs for these dollars. Although the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District's done a great job, and they're very competitive for our size and everything. I got to say, as a general rule, our area is rural enough that it doesn't compete very well.
We get dusted
often. You want me to bring it back up again?
Yeah. I just worked the bad pun too.
But like I said, the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District's done a great job of keeping us as competitive as we possibly can be, which is a real credit to them. Within this, though, there are some things. You know, we could use a new reservoir. We've got some well things that could be done that fit these programs.
Could Southern Humboldt?
Southern Humboldt, if they design
some kind of.
Yeah. Yeah,
district of some sort.
They have districts, and they absolutely, I'm sure, will give a shot at trying to apply for some of this. These go on for, you know, several years by the time they, from start to finish, when they finally fund all the projects.
Are water bonds effective bonds as contrasted to other types of bonding measures? Or I guess that's wrong. Other forms of bonds that are issued?
Yes. They're public financing.
It kind of sounded like you were drowning there a little bit.
Yeah, yep. Well, I was trying to figure out what does he really mean?
Man, don't waste your time trying to come up with that one.
it's a public financing tool that is effective at trying to get money, you know, specifically for specific causes. And you know, to a certain extent, you know, you can't go wrong. Make an infrastructure investment if you've got the proper oversight, and you're not, you know, really raking in the administration off of it.
Citizens oversight committees? Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, yeah. Well, okay, let's go there. Yeah,
I'm a little dingy today. So this is part of, in association with general water awareness, recognition, conservation, that kind of stuff? With this bond measure, the recycling?
The recycling part of it is, yes. But it doesn't, if I see where you're going, the bond doesn't pay for things like we're doing here locally or other places are doing, which is getting the word out, you know, working on these prohibitions and trying to you know, just make people aware to fix their water system.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Hull from the Water District. Dave, Services District, okay, and they provide water. Okay, easy.
Yeah. And streetlights. That's another day, though.
Yeah. Actually, it would be. How do they choose the color of the light? Oh, okay, sorry. Different day. We are hearing an awful lot about aquifer, groundwater. Blah, blah, blah. Now, here we kind of hear about it somewhat regularly because that's where the Municipal Water District pulls the water out of, Rio Dell, that's where they're pulling it out of. It's a little bit different story here, but we'll hear discussions about aquifers, the Midwest aquifer.
Right.
Okay, the Colorado waterfer. Huh? Okay. So what is an aquifer? How does this thing come into play? How does it get drained out?
Well, it's interesting. So just in a general picture, right, for municipal water, there's usually two sources. There's either groundwater, which comes out of an aquifer, and I'll get to that in a second, or there's the surface water, which comes out of a dam or a river or something like that. In the aquifer, these are pockets that have underground, sometimes way underground, that water has slowly over, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of years has filtered down to these places. You drill a well down into them, and then you draw that water back out. You go through, there's, you know, all kinds of science and kind of pseudoscience, if you will, about where to drill a well and where the water really is and where the aquifer is and things like this. Ultimately, that's where a lot of the water, particularly in the a lot of the water in the Sacramento Valley and the San Joaquin Valley is coming from some aquifers. In fact, Humboldt Community Services District, we actually have three wells that are in the Elk River aquifer, and those wells are between 400 and 500 feet deep, and at that depth, it's actually, there's so much pressure over them that they're artesian, so it pushes the water back up.
I've seen them.
Okay. At a very slow rate, of course, that pushes it back up. Yeah, you've seen the artesians. Yeah. I know you have.
Holy beer, 1974, circa 74.
Yeah. We've just aged both of ourselves, haven't we? So these aquifers are down in some kind of porous strata, right? And so this water's down in there. There's all kinds of care to managing those aquifers because you can overpump them. You can take water out faster than they can replenish.
What happens then?
Well, then the well goes dry. And that's okay. what you're seeing in some of these places that are the drought. You know, they've pumped hard on them, and they're not being replenished. And so the groundwater level drops. And so they've had to drill them deeper, or the kind of the new thing that's been going on the last 10, 15 years is what they call groundwater recharge, where they actually returned some water back to them. So
it'd
usually be treated wastewater. No, it's a different setup, but it's an area that tries to get the water back into those faster than just waiting for rainwater.
Through the strata.
Correct.
Okay.
The one thing that we, the Elk River aquifer that we get some of our water out of for Humboldt Community Services District is apparently about 10,000 years old, and it actually originates in the Mount Shasta area. So it just kind of shows you how much these underground strata are all kind of connected together.
Like underground cave?
Yeah, no, just the porosity of the layer of rock and the grade.
So
and
the sedimentation and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so it's percolated down and it's percolated toward the coast. So
now how does it, if it's 400 to 500 feet deep at Humboldt Hill at the base.
Right.
Okay, you are about 350 feet below the bay.
Or 400 feet below the bay, correct.
Okay, depending on. Is it freshwater?
It is freshwater. Now, there are other...
They don't blend?
No, because they've typically, if you look at it, what they call a well log, when they're drilling a well, they'll go say, okay, here's a layer of sand, and here's a layer of clay, and here's some rocks, and here's some seashells, and whatever, and they make this whole little map of what they're drilling through. When you get to a clay layer, that pretty much stops the water from going any further down. So in our case, a lot of the salt water is trapped by a clay layer that's there, or several clay layers. When we get down to that 400 or 500 foot level, that's where we get into water that, like I said, is coming from really kind of far away, but it's in its own strata that doesn't have any interaction with the ones that are above that may be kind of salty.
So it's just in its own little environment then.
Right. So on the Mad River, the surface water kind of things, we've had some issues on the Klamath that I think everybody's heard about. There's, when we get into these kind of water situations, there's a tug between the water users up there. There's farmers and there's the fish and you end up with algae blooms and all this kind of stuff when the water gets low and it gets warm. There's ag runoff. There's a whole complex system of things that go on there. In our case on the Mad River, remember, although there's Ruth Lake, and that dam is a part of our water system, we don't actually pick up the water till about 80 miles downstream of there. And at that place, we're actually not taking it right off of the surface. The industrial water piece is, but the water that we drink, the potable water system, is actually in what they call rainy wells, which are actually way below the surface of the bottom of the river, if that makes sense. They're 40, 50 feet down until you get down toward bedrock, down underneath the river. So it's
tapping into
it's a
aquifers?
Subsurface. It's an aquifer. Or it's a thing, and that's why when you remember several years ago, the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District actually put in a filtration plant is because at some flood stages on the Mad River, it would actually get turbid enough, rumbling down toward the coast, that it would some suspended sediment would actually make it down to where those wells were actually picking up.
And that's because it's relatively shallow compared to your 400 or 500 foot
correct.
Well.
Right.
And clay would take care of that if clay was.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:46. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. Dave, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, does everybody understand, does everybody know, is everybody aware that we are in a drought?
I think they do now, and I think that we've done a good job. I think the state's done a pretty good job of getting the word out. I think even though we're not, right here in our little world around Humboldt Bay, we're not in a water shortage emergency. It is something that I think people are top of mind. When you look at the state, we've cut back on our water use here. People voluntarily, like 12% from what it was last year, which is great. That's a lot for other places in the state.
Jack the rate up a little bit more. Guess what? We'll cut it even more.
Well, yeah. That's another topic too.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, after lights.
So we're locally here. We're not doing any more than really right now what the state has said, which is just four quick things. Let me go over them real quick here. One of them is not to you can still water your grass and your irrigate and everything, but not let it run down the sidewalk or whatever. You sound like Ange. There you go. Exactly. So, see, she's on the right track.
An uglier version, however, I might add.
Good catch.
Thank you.
Yeah. I take that as a compliment, by the way.
So does Crystal.
Yes. So the not supposed to just let the hose run if you're washing a car or something. So it just run. I don't know that anybody does that anymore that doesn't have a nozzle on it. But that's one of the things. Not to use the potable water, the water out of a hose or something to wash your driveways off. So that's a little bit maybe of a behavioral change for some people. But that's one of them. That's one of the things now. And then using it in a fountain. Where it just kind of comes in and goes out. And again, I don't know anybody that has a fountain that does that. They all recirculate as far as I know, but that's one of the things too. One of the things that's been interesting though is along with these state rules, it's a $500 fine if you get to some level where it looks like you're really blowing it. Several of us in our water shortage contingency plans have fines for things, but this goes way above what we have in ours. But we're kind of stuck with it because the state preempts us. We can go more restrictive than the state, but we can't go less. So those are the things. I think they're pretty easy to work with. It's just I think the message to take home is just be mindful of what you're doing with the water. Don't actively waste it. But what I really wanted to talk about is switching hats to the wastewater part of our world. This is an exciting talk show, isn't it? Huh? Water and wastewater?
Yeah. The checklist is just so large.
So we talked, when I was here a couple of months ago, we talked about the Martin Slough Interceptor Project, which is remind you, it's a big wastewater collection project that eliminates a bunch of pump stations. It's got big environmental benefits because it's all new. And so that means there's going to be a lot less leaks. It eliminates several pump stations, so that's a lot less labor for some of us. It's a lot less energy to run these pump stations, and it's just a great deal. So it does open up some capacity for additional growth in some parts of the Martin Slough Basin, which basically runs down from the golf course, let's say, up into Eureka and Cutton and that area. What the big deal is that we had some issues. We had a little hiccup in the production of this from a pipeline that was going from the pump station at the golf course under Pine Hill. Then there was an open trench. Then it was going off to the treatment plant. I'm happy to say that the pipeline is in now.
Connected?
Connected.
Done? Working?
Well, not working.
Tested.
But we got it drilled all the way through. It's all in and installed, and that's a big day. And that just happened yesterday, so...
Thanks for the update.
There you go.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Hall and his checklist. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.